just because you like it, or maybe your wife or your husband or whoever likes the song, doesn't mean it's a good song. What are the tests that you've put that song through before it makes its way to the stage on Sunday morning? Who in your life is keeping you accountable with that? Like, we have a whole bunch of us around here that do that. We never introduce a song that hasn't gone through a whole litmus test to get there.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Worship Fuel Show. My name is Matt McCoy, and I'm with CCLI, and I'm really thrilled to have Tyler and Kendra with me today from Red Rocks Worship. And we're going to talk about some of their new music that's coming, but we're also going to talk about a topic that I think a lot of worship leaders face every single week, and it's how do you introduce new songs to a hesitant congregation? How do you introduce a new song to a congregation that maybe isn't picking up new songs, or they just want to sing the oldies over and over and over and over? How do you do that? So we're going to talk about that. But you guys, thanks for joining. Glad to have you here. Good to see you.
Are you kidding me? We're so pumped to be here with you.
To kick this off, can you guys just share quickly, just like what are your roles with Red Rocks?
So
you're in Colorado right now, I'm guessing?
Yeah, so we're here in Denver. We work at Red Rocks Church. We're just a couple of the worship leaders on staff here. And we get to travel and write songs and just have a lot of fun, man. You know, I've been here for a few years, just a few. And Kendra's been here for a few less. No, I've been here for 15 years. That's why I'm saying that. So funny. And then you've been here how many years now?
Three years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
We're part of Red Rocks Worship. We get to write, record, and just lead the helm here at the church. But we love our church.
Yeah.
Multiple campuses here in Denver, one in Austin, Texas, and one in Brussels, Belgium, too. We're so proud of and so thankful for.
Are you guys involved in the kind of like day in, day out of like planning the worship sets or scheduling people? And how does that look?
Yeah.
Our job looks, I think each of us that's a part of Red Rocks Worship, our job looks different. So mm-hmm. I'm one of the worship pastors. I'm a worship pastor for our young adults ministry. And so my job here is to work with our pastor who's in charge of that and build set lists and pray over that team and set vision and create around that. And then Sydney, who's on our team, does stuff for weekend set lists. And so all of us have our hand in set lists and
absolutely
working with our pastors and all of that week in and week out.
Absolutely. I mean, for us, the main thing is the local church. It has been from the beginning and it just continues to be. So we're all always here, it seems like. I live here.
That's amazing. So you guys are experienced. I mean, you're in the trenches. You know, mm-hmm. you know what worship leaders are facing, and we've got a big season coming up. You know, where Easter is approaching. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have started. Do you guys start planning Easter this early, or is it maybe like next month? When does that happen?
This is the first.
Right behind there.
Yes, literally right behind me. we just started. This is the most ahead of schedule we've ever been. Ever. It's one of those things. It's like it's such a partnership with, you know, our lead pastor, Pastor Sean, our creative team, the production team. So we do our best to get ahead, but at the end of the day, it's such a partnership that we're all just kind of moving at the speed of the other person. You know what I mean? And so we have started to build a skeleton service order. We kind of know like, hey, we want to do a choir this year. Oh, we want to do Thank God I'm Free because that song is just popping. And our church loves it. So like, we know that. So maybe we'll end the service that way. But all the stuff in between, we're like, I don't know. Does Pastor Sean have his message yet?
Yeah.
Not yet. He's working on it. So we'll get there when we get there.
Is there anything you guys do at your church for Easter that's just like a staple? You do it every single year? Like, is there a song or like an element that's always done?
A couple of years ago, we started doing our Good Friday services. That was new for us. We had never done that. But Good Friday, it looks so different. So Good Friday for us is like very much stripped back, a couple acoustic guitars, maybe keys.
Like lament focused, like feeling the tension.
Yeah. We want people to leave feeling like, whoa, like something dark just kind of happened. Yeah. We always take communion there. And then, so that's kind of like the newest thing I would say that like we do every year, but then we turn it around that's Friday and we have church on Saturday and Sunday, of course, for Easter. And then it's way more
celebration.
Joyful, very different.
So you've got a new song coming out, Lord, the Lord is with me. And it's coming out March 6th, which actually will be, it's probably, as people are listening to this, it's out now. So go to Spotify and Apple Music and listen to The Lord is with me. Tell us about that song.
Yeah. so pumped about this song. So it was the last one we wrote for the for our new record that we recorded last year, and it should have been the first one, because this one in particular, Pastor Sean asked us to write a song to go along with his book called Kiss the Fire. It's the first time he's ever asked us to write a song ever. Like, he loves that we write songs, but like, it's never been like a big focus. But he said, hey, can you please write a song to go with this book called Kiss the Fire? And we're like, yeah, let's do it. And so anyways, it was the last one, but we went to Nashville and we wrote it. And what I love about this song is, it's just, hey, no matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, if you're in a, you know, if you're in the valley, God's with you. If you're on the mountaintop, God's with you. If you're walking through a fire, like, he's the fourth man in the fire, and you're going to get out. And so the idea really stemmed from this book called Kiss the Fire that our lead pastor wrote, and he wrote it because, he was just recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And when he got that, when he had that diagnosis, you know, a mentor in his life said, hey, you know what, we're going to kiss this fire and walk away whistling. And I was like, what does that even mean? But the idea is that it is a fire, and it's going to be really hard, and it might even be painful, and it might even just look like God's not in it with me, but he is. And we're going to walk through it, and he's going to walk through it with us. Yeah. And so then we wrote this song called The Lord Is With Me. He's an ever-present help in our time of need. And so what I love about this song is, it's just like, it's been such an anthem for our church. Whenever we pull it out, I mean, we pulled it out at Christmas. It was kind of funny, but we mashed it with O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And it's the craziest thing. Even at Christmas, these people are singing, though fear may tell me the truth.
Well, I remember I first heard the demo of this song, and I remember listening to it, and I was like, how in the world is this going to be like a song we do at church? Like, it was just very, like, not because of the content, not because of the language, but it was just this, like, in some parts eerie, in some parts, like, very, like, musically, like, very minory. And I was like, this song is not going to work at church. We did it live once, and it was insane. People were just, like, weeping and declaring that the Lord is with them.
Yeah.
And it's such a promise. And it's just, like, every room we've done it in, young adults, weekend, youth, it's just like God's breathing on it. So
it definitely has like a harder, more rock and roll vibe to it, but that's actually on purpose. Because when we were in the right, what a lot of people will never know is we were like, we have some UFC fighters that come to our church. Okay. And so we're like, how sick would it be? It's called, like, his book was called Kiss the Fire. Like, we're not talking about, like, you know, maybe the Lord will be with me today. No, no, no. We're talking about, you're going through it. You have cancer. You have Parkinson's disease. You don't know how many more days you got. You're going through it. The Lord is with you. And so we thought, how cool would it be if we wrote a song that reminded the church that he is with them, and that a UFC fighter could walk down to the arena with it playing in the arena. And so, like,
but that, it, like, works at church.
Yeah, but it works at church. It's
so weird.
So that was like the vision for it.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's also cool to hear how you guys played the song and you knew immediately. There's those songs that you play and you can kind of just tell immediately if they are working or not.
Yes.
And I know worship leaders, you know, are trying to maybe introduce new songs, and it's scary. I think a lot of worship leaders don't introduce new songs because of that risk of, like, man, is this going to totally just flop? Is it going to totally wreck the worship set? It's easier for a worship leader just to go to, like, the golden standards, right? Ones that you know are going to work every single time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have there been any songs that you guys have done that have just totally flopped? That you're like,
well,
yeah, this did not work.
We try a lot of new. We try
was
a lot,
it your song?
Yeah, we
was
try it someone a lot else's? Of new Red Rock songs. Those flop sometimes.
Yes.
Do you try those on a Sunday morning?
Yeah.
If we're trying songs, yeah, we're usually trying them on a weekend.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way to kind of know. I think this topic is really interesting because it's something that like you said, every worship leader, every church has a moment of navigating. It's so easy to want to, like, even, like, please the room or, like, know that there's certain songs that are their preference. But as your pastor, you're actually supposed to operate and move with the purpose of, like, what is going to actually, like, push and move our church closer to God and make them understand new characteristics of who he is. And so for us, I think that God is just, if he's the most, if he created all creation and then that same spirit that made creation is within us, I'm like, we just, let's just be creative. Yeah. And then if we do a song and everyone hates it, and
it
even if they throw stuff at us, like, it's like, you know, you don't even lose. Cause it's like, okay, well, we like, we did something and we were creative and we, whatever, but I would say for introducing new songs, what we do at our church, because we are a church for the prodigal. So whoever comes into our church, we don't want them to be like, oh, everyone knows what's going on except for me.
Yep.
They know the lyrics already. They know this. They know that. Like, they know what lamb means. I don't know what that means. And so, like, for us, what we have found, instead of, like, trying to muster and make up what we think is the best thing to say and intro a song, we read scripture.
That's right.
Because the word of God never returns void. And so if you're giving context to a song within scripture, and we just do songs here that are all like scripture based. So it's pretty easy to read scripture. So, but for us, we give context. If we're singing a song about glory to the Lamb.
Yes.
Which is a new song that we, for an example, a new song we're releasing is All to Give Him Glory. And the whole chorus is glory to the Lamb, the one who was and is to come. And for our young adults, before we did the song, we read scripture in Isaiah about in heaven, them saying glory to the Lamb, the one who was and is to come. And we literally gave them verbatim what that means and how Jesus is the Lamb and why. And then they feel connected. And then they know what they're singing and they're not thinking, what is happening?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
100%.
What signals tell you, okay, this one's working, or no, this one's not working?
Yeah. It's such a great, great question. Because a lot of people think, well, if their hands are in the air, that means it must be working. Or if their hands are not in the air, then it's not working. Yeah. I don't think that that's real. I think the way I know if the song is working is if they're singing the song. One of my favorite things to do as a worship leader, and I do this often, sometimes it becomes a little too predictable actually. And so that's on me. But as I love to get to the end of a song and then do a down chorus, and I love to back away from the mic and I love to hear them sing. It's just like, I don't know. I get goosebumps even thinking about it. It's my favorite thing ever as a worship leader actually. And, but I know if I can step back from the mic and they're singing the chorus all by themselves, we did it. But there are times where they don't, and I have to step back in on the second line, the third line, and kind of prompt them again. And then I know, like, ooh, this song, it's not fully fleshed out yet, or they're not fully connected to it, or it's not just this moment isn't what I wanted it to be. And so I think just giving people an opportunity to sing it and just hear, are they actually connecting to it, is a really great litmus test for, like, is this song working or is it not? Is it one that I just really like to sing, or is it one where the room is fully connected?
There's great songs, but there's also songs that just aren't, a congregation doesn't catch for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? So we got to work with Mr. Jason Ingram, who is an absolute songwriting legend and worship leader, Mount Rushmore, amazing. But we got to work with him on our last project actually. And I remember we went through every single song that we had planned to record for the album. And he's like, all right, let's sit down. Just an acoustic guitar. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, just an acoustic guitar. And let's sing through every single one of these. And so I think at that point we had like 13, 15 songs, something like that. We were trying to get down to 10, and that's how we got down to 10. His whole point was, a great worship song, you could just pick up an acoustic guitar, one voice, and lead a room in worship. Really cool songs that have high production value and they're super catchy and all that stuff, that doesn't mean that they're great worship songs. And so that's kind of what we do now at Red Rocks. Like, we learned that from him. We put every song through the test of, all right, with an acoustic guitar, can we lead a room? Just one voice and one acoustic guitar. And if so, then we're like, all right, I think this one could work, you know, but that's kind of like the starting line for us.
I think this topic is really important because I always feel, as a worship leader, that, you know, you've got 20, 25 minutes to lead people in worship, you know, at most churches. Some churches let you go for an hour. But
yeah.
And so what are you going to do with those 20 minutes? And you can like throw in a song that, you know, totally flops. You don't want to like totally just never introduce any new songs, because then you're just stale and singing old stuff all the time. But you also have to have discernment of what works and what's not. And you also have to have discernment on what songs maybe are just your personal preference. Because sometimes there's songs that I just like. Like they're just like, ooh, I like that song. I would like to lead that. I would like to sing it. But it's not necessarily good for the congregation. And I've had that instance before, and I've known it. Like in the moment, I'm like, Matt,
you should not have done this.
This was for me. Totally. Yeah. This was for me, and I should not have done that. That was a mistake. And we have to steward that time well.
Absolutely. I also think that what is helpful, even when introducing new songs and helping identify like your preference versus what does our, it's knowing what your church actually needs. Like what language is your church like missing? So like if all the songs that we've been doing recently are about like, let's say we have a lot of songs about like his provision, that's amazing. Yeah. But also we want to make sure that people are singing songs that kind of take their eyes off of maybe what he can do for us. And so let's introduce a song that is just, it's completely upward. There's no like I language. There's no us language. It's just like him language. Or and then the other way around of like, do we have any songs that are like letting us sit and are contemplative and are like whatever, or declaring for healing, or like, what is your church? What spiritually do they need to declare and sing out? Okay, let's find a song for our church and see if they cling to that and give them language for it. So I think that's also helpful.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head, like when you said that you only have like 20-25 minutes. I mean, that's how we are at Red Rocks. Uh-huh. Kind of do two songs and then a message and then two songs, or three songs, a message, and then a closing song. So just kind of depends on what the vibe is that weekend. But for us, basically we get four songs, right? That's essentially what we got. And so that, we already said it earlier, we're a church for the prodigal. So prodigals coming home is because we're throwing a party. We're always throwing a party. So that first song is like very much, we're having a party. You got to come be a part of it. We're going to tell you what God has done in our life. It's tempo. It's energy. It's, we're setting our eyes on like, man, the Lord is in the room and he's changed our lives. And that's why we're excited. And then song two for us is normally like, kind of like that upward,
let's redirect focus.
It's like all on him. So the holy forever kind of moment, right? This song comes to mind where it's just like, this is who he is. We don't necessarily, we're not looking for anything from him. We're just telling him how great he is and how wonderful he is. And then we always end big. And then if there's like a message, awesome. The third song is our kind of altar moment. That is the moment where it's like, hey, we've entered the gates with praise and thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? We're here. We've done the deal. We've now heard the word of God, and now we're going to respond, and we're going to ask him for all the things that we need. It is the provision. It is the healing. It is the faith anthem. And then on the way out, that song four, it's like the charge. It's like, hey, we're sending the church now out into the world to go live our real life, right? Monday through Saturday. We are the church. So the church wasn't this last hour. We are the church, and we're going out. And so we're sending them out with some type of anthem that's like, this is who our God is. This is who we are. Let's go change the world. He's with us through it all. The Lord is with me kind of vibe.
If we get really practical, like what are some mistakes that worship leaders make when introducing new songs? And I'm curious, like, are there tips you have that like you've found always work? Like, should you share the chorus before you introduce the song? Should you say anything? Should you not say anything? Like, do you put the song at the beginning of the set, the end of the set? Like,
so I don't think that there's like a one size fits all because it depends on what it is. So for instance, when we do, we introduce Thank God I'm Free, first song, song one, big energy.
Which can be tough, but you can't. Where else are you going to put it?
Exactly. It's got to go song one for us. But we didn't take a whole moment to like, we come out of this big culture video. Come on, let's have church today. Whatever. We can't just like, hey guys, we're going to teach you a new song today. Instead, it was like, you know, scripture, who the Son has set free is free indeed. Anybody in the house today feel that? Come on, we're going to sing this new song. Can we just thank the Lord that we are free? But we're singing that over the intro, right? Or sorry, we're saying that over the intro. And then we get into the song, awesome. A difference, but another song, like song two or three, I just tell the team always, like, hey, we're going to set this song up.
We have more time. Yeah.
Absolutely. We have more time, and we're going to set the song up. It doesn't need to be a 2 or 3 minute thing. Yeah. You can say a lot in 30 seconds. You can say a lot in 1 minute. And then if we can, let's teach him the chorus. An acoustic guitar or a piano, just literally teach them the chorus. And if it's like, just if, you know, if you're talking like really, really practical, if it's one of those songs that's kind of like, it's high in the register, then man, sing the octave down when you teach the room. Like, they're not going to sing way up here. Like for The Lord Is With Me, for instance, no way in the world was I going to teach that song, singing it, belting it right here. It's like, nobody's going to catch on. We could sing it down the octave, and then they have now latched on. They understand. So when we get to that part, they sing it with me. But when we get to like the bigger, we jump the octave, they're doing their best, but like they're connected, you know? But I think you have to, I mean, we never introduce a song, whether it's a Red Rock song or someone else's song. We never introduce a song without giving it context, because I have made the mistake before of just going out there and just.
They're going to like it or they're not. Right. And it's like, well, maybe that's not the disconnect. Yeah,
they don't know it. And us as worship leaders, we live in this space where we listen to worship music. We know who the new worship artists are, all that stuff. We know all that. But these people don't. Yeah. I mean, unless they're listening to Christian radio, which hopefully they are, but like, unless they are, like, they don't. And even still, they don't know the new cutting edge songs.
Yeah, man, Tyler, I've always been so surprised when I talk to like church people, how little they know about worship artists. Like, they might listen to, you know, they might listen to a Christian radio, and so they recognize a song.
Yeah.
Yes.
But like, if I'm like, oh, do you listen to, you know, Elevation? Do you listen to Red Rock? Like, people aren't listening. It's interesting how many churchgoers aren't listening to worship music. I live and breathe it. Like, it's my whole life, you know? And so I've always been surprised by that.
I'm even an example of someone who literally works in this space, and there will be songs that I have listened to, connected to, and I have no idea who does it. And then I meet them and I'm like, oh, thanks for writing that. Yeah.
I think it's a good reminder, though, because as worship leaders, to us, it's like, you know, we hear a song, we know it. And we need to remember that, like, probably most people in your congregation don't know King of Kings or whatever, like, super well. They don't know Goodbye Yesterday super well as we do, you know?
And they probably don't know the scripture that corresponds with those lyrics.
Yeah.
So when I think that's like what Kendra was saying earlier. Her point was so great. It's like, teach them the scripture. When I go to set up a song, let the word of God do the work.
Yeah.
He doesn't need me. He doesn't need us to come up with some like, so we wrote this song because X, Y, Z. No, scripture says that he's an ever-present help in our time of need. And so church, we're teaching this new song today called The Lord Is With Me. It goes like this. The Lord is with me. Yeah. Off click, just acoustic guitar, piano, whatever, sing the octave down. They latch on. Fire. Now, great. Here we go from the top of the song. It's that simple.
I love that. I mean, it says just about everything it needs to say. I'm a huge fan of scripture in worship. What are some resources? Obviously, the Bible. But are there any, like, resources that you've used to be able to find those, like, song setups? You know, those little things that you can use to set up a song?
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak for me, and then I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I'm always looking for a model somewhere. And so for me, like, I found it in other teams that I love. So like, I still watch Elevation Church live online at 7:30 our time every single Sunday morning. And I have for a decade. Mm-hmm. And so I have seen them set up so many songs, over the years and I've learned a lot through that. So I don't do it exactly the way they do it because they do it that way, but it has, it's been a model for how you can do it. And think about it. They introduce new songs, almost every single week. Watching other teams is really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. And seeing other environments and other contexts is really, really helpful.
Yeah, I think I just lean, I lean to, I think one, we have resources even like on our own team of like, how do you go about doing this? Or how would you do this transition? Or so relying on like people that are like with you. And then also I think it's either scripture or it's like testimony, like my testimony with, so if the song's like about the gospel, like I just like honestly like share like how much the gospel means to me. And usually it's both those things. Like we did this last weekend, a new song that is going to release and it's so good. It's called Here's My Hallelujah. And it is so good. But with the church, I was feeling emotional. And so as a leader, instead of like pretending I wasn't, I just started weeping. I was weeping and I was like, the gospel is everything. Like, can we ask God to like help us not be jaded towards the gospel? And can we just thank him? And then that was my like setup. Yeah. But it was like, just in the moment as a leader, as a follower of God, I was getting moved by the Spirit of God. And so then that's what I shared. I brought people into it instead of just like trying to then be like, oh, but that's not what I was planning on saying. It's like, who cares?
And that authenticity connects every single time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It just doesn't. People will attune to what's happening as soon as they believe you. And they believe that you believe what you're saying and what you're singing. If they don't believe that and you're just up there and you sound amazing and you look so cool, most people don't care. Yeah. But if they believe that you believe what you're saying and then you actually bring like an authentic version of yourself, it will connect every time.
I'll throw out another one that's like very practical and may not be a very popular opinion. Sometimes if I'm leading a song and a scripture just isn't like coming to my mind easily for it, I'll use ChatGPT and be like, here's the song. Give me some scriptures that go along with this. And then it kind of gives you, you have to sort through the ones that like
100%.
Don't apply, obviously. Yes. But at least can like spark some ideas of like, oh yeah, this, I forgot about that scripture. Like, yes, that lines up perfectly. And then you can dive in deeper into it. But I think it's a tool now that like, can make it so much easier if you really are stuck.
Yeah. We use it for everything else. We may as well.
I know. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. How many songs do you think is like, how many new songs per month is like too many?
Well,
or per week can you do?
Oh, well per week, you shouldn't. I mean, for us, our rhythm is kind of like, hey, we'll introduce a new song. And then this week, but then we're going to do it for the next 2 weeks. So you know that. But during that time frame, we're not introducing anything else that's new.
Yeah.
This is not an exact number, but the last thing I heard, it was like, hey, people at Red Rocks come. We have so many people that say they come to Red Rocks Church. Praise the Lord. But their average attendance is like 1.7 times per month. What? How do you even get to 1.7? I don't know. But literally, like, that's like the average. So think about that. If Tina is coming in this Sunday and we sing a new song, great. She's going to hear it this time, but she might not be coming back until next month. And so when we go to sing that song again, it's going to be like the first time she's ever heard it. You know what I'm saying? And she's not listening to these songs throughout the week, probably. And so I think slowing your roll with new songs is really, really great. I rather have a connected room that's engaged and they are locked in with the Lord, singing songs that we've sang for many, many times. And we're so sick of them, but my goodness, they are in it. I'd rather have that than have a worship set that is so polished and so, so amazing
and new
and fresh. Yeah. Because it feels good to us.
Yeah. Right.
Also, it looks very different for us. And if you're a church that's like writing and releasing music and wanting to try new music, when we know we're in a season where we're either trying out new music or we're going to release an album and like, okay, well, we want our church to know all these songs before we record it.
Yeah.
We will be super intentional on making sure our set lists are like majority songs that they know. We're not introducing any other songs because we know we're about to kind of bombard the church with like new stuff. Yes, for our house, but it's like, yes, we want to like set ourselves up well for that season so that it's not like, oh, well, shoot, we've only been introducing new stuff that's not even our songs. And now every week they're going to get like a new song from us.
That's literally what we're doing right now for Easter. Like you asked about Easter set list planning earlier. Like we've done a few songs in the last couple of weeks that are newer because we are setting them up for Easter. And when we do it, because we know we're going to have a lot of new people in the room, and that's awesome. But we are hoping that the church family that is here most of the time, they're already going to know these. So now the new people that are in the room are walking into a party versus like, we're teaching this whole new song that none of you know?
Yeah.
So you guys probably get asked a lot by other churches or worship leaders like, hey, we want to write our own songs and we want to play them at our church, you know, kind of do what Red Rocks has done. Like you guys wrote these songs out of your church. You've introduced them to your church. You then like record them and the process keeps going, right? And there's a lot of churches that want to do that. I'm going to be real with you for a minute here. Maybe I'll get some free counseling from Tyler and Kendra from Red Rocks. I sometimes wonder, is it actually beneficial for all churches to do that? Because I'm not going to name the church, but I go to a church where they write a lot of their own songs. And often after the sermon, they will play one of the songs that they wrote that goes along with the sermon. And it's like, if I'm honest, it's awful. Like the songs are awful. And it just flops. And I'm like, guys, like the whole room just changes. And I'm like, there was actually a really great Red Rocks song you probably could have played instead to close the service, or a great Elevation song or whatever. But they, you know, they're wanting to exercise this gift that they have or this creativity that, you know, they want to write songs and they want to do it, but they're not good at it. And I'm just like, man, so who is this serving? Like, is this really, you know, it might be good for the worship leader and the songwriters, but is it really good for the congregation? And so is it beneficial for everybody? Like, should churches do that? And my question, my counseling question for you is like, is that a heart issue in me? or is that maybe an actual like issue that churches maybe don't need to be always singing songs that they write?
I don't think it's a heart issue in you. I go back and forth on this. I think that everyone has a responsibility to be creative and to be intentional with what they're creating and the language they're giving to their church congregation. So that doesn't mean that they have to write songs that they actually lead on the weekend. That just means that they are being very intentional with what they're putting together for their worship set list. They're being intentional with making sure that those songs are partnered perfectly with pastor's message, and that it's on brand and it's on vision for whatever this weekend looks like for their home base. That is important.
Yeah.
That is where the creativity, I think all of us should all be living there.
Yeah.
There are some people who are called to write songs and there are some people who just aren't. I think that, if we were writing songs all the time and they were not connecting with our people, I'm not saying we would stop writing songs, but I would tell you that those songs we would stop leading at church.
Yeah.
Because we want to, the main thing for us is never going to be, let's write a song for the sake of writing a song. The main thing for us is always going to be, let's be, you know, create a distraction-free environment and let's put these folks, let's put their eyes, let's point them straight to Jesus and make the most engaging, connected worship service that we can possibly have to where the Holy Spirit can speak to them in a way that my song is just never going to do. You know what I'm saying? So for churches that are out there that maybe they keep writing songs and they're not landing, well, I would never be the person to say, stop writing songs. Never. I would say, let's look at the process then. Number one, is it a vision of your lead pastor for you to write songs? Is that something that him or her wants? Like, is that something that they're actually wanting? If it is, then you should be writing songs. If it's not, and they actually don't care and don't want it, then I think that's something to like really lean into. The other thing is like, then what's the process for these new songs? Just because you like it, or maybe your wife or your husband or whoever likes the song, doesn't mean it's a good song. So what are the tests that you've put that song through before it makes its way to the stage on Sunday morning? who is actually saying that song, I feel the Lord on it, or who's saying, hey, bro, I think that's great, but I ain't gonna lie, I don't know what you're saying. Who in your life is keeping you accountable with that?
Yeah.
We have that. Like, we have a whole bunch of us around here that do that. Yes, we do introduce a lot of new songs, and some of them have flopped. But we never introduce a song that hasn't gone through a whole litmus test to get there. You know what I mean? If you keep the main thing, that is, we are going to lead people into the presence of the Lord, and we're going to point their eyes to Him. If that really is like the main thing, then like, if a song's not connecting, you should know that. And if you don't know that, then dear God, you better have somebody in your life that keeps you accountable. So I would never tell a songwriter, you're not a songwriter, you should stop. I'm never going to say that, because there are a lot of people that, I'm not the greatest, but my goodness, you should have heard some of the songs I wrote 10 years ago. They were terrible. I'm so glad that I didn't stop writing. Those songs that we did 10 years ago, most of the ones that are absolutely trash, we never did them on Sunday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the reason we didn't is because I had checks and balances. We had checks and balances on our team to where it's like, yeah, sorry, love you, but it just can't. It's just, it ain't right. So I don't know if that answers your question 100%, but I think the last thing I would say to that is, as a worship leader, we should not like write songs because we feel this pressure to be Elevation or Bethel or Red Rocks Worship or Brandon Lake or you name it, like Abby Gamboa, whoever you want to call out. Those people, like, they're running in the lanes that the Lord has given them. That doesn't mean you have to do that. And your win, your success is not, did you become like them? Did you write a song that people sing all around? Like, maybe, but that's not your success. Your success, I believe, as a worship leader is, did I point people's eyes to Jesus, and did I connect the room? Was the room connected today? If it's not, then you got some homework to do to figure out why. And then it might mean like, let's go back to some of those older songs, because they love those.
Those are good words. It does seem like it's very important to have someone at your church, whether it's the lead pastor, who understands worship, who cares about worship, who understands music. Because I think what's actually happening in the situation I'm referencing is the lead pastor is really passionate about preaching, but really doesn't understand worship very well. Mm. And I don't think he's very musical, but he's asking his team, like, hey, can you write a song? I'm talking about the potter and the clay or something. Can you write a song about that for a close? And they do it and they play it. And he probably thinks it's awesome just because it's a song that was written that was brand new.
Sure.
But like, musical people would be like, oh, this is not great. You know,
I would also say to that, and again, I'm going out on a limb here. I would also say, though, like, I think our job is to serve the lead pastor and the vision that they've set. And so I might not like that song, or, you know what I mean? Or I might not connect with it. And the church down the road might not connect with it. But if the room at this house connects with it, then I think that it's a win. But you're saying that maybe the room is not connected with it.
The room is not.
And so then I would say, as a worship leader, I would just keep digging. You got to keep digging. You got to keep digging. Because there's nothing like standing up there trying to be like, you know, pointing people to Jesus, and yet they're just looking at you like, could you please finish? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. I hate that feeling. I've been there. And so I'm like, start digging then. You got to keep going more. Even if pastor liked the song, you know, it isn't quite finished.
Yeah, right. I just think, gosh, we have such a responsibility. You've got like 20 minutes. Like, let's just use it well. Give the people what they want. I don't know. It is such a delicate balance.
Yeah.
Because also scripture says, sing to the Lord a new song.
Yeah.
You know, a new song. And so we can bring these new songs to our church.
Yeah.
Well, I think also, like, as worship leaders, we will have different relationships or different, I guess, like, familiarity with different pastors at different times. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I, even for young adults, like, I am very, very close. The pastor that's over our young adults, Casey, she is actually one of my dearest, closest friends. And that's super, helpful for me when we're building a set together and she is, you know, preaching a message, because we have this like mutual respect where she knows that she loves worship and she loves, like, she connects with worship, but she knows that I, on my job, I have a more of an understanding, and like we have some systems, not for system's sake, but for making sure the room feels a part of it. So like for her, sometimes every week she comes with three new songs and I'm like, well, let me tell you why that actually wouldn't serve the room. And she's like, oh, that makes so much sense. And so we're able to work together. And instead of just being like, yes, whatever you say, I'll just do whatever song you want. Yeah. We have this mutual communication where we're both able to be honest. And then we both feel like we have a say pastorally. And so I think that's also important, that's that good. Maybe if like, as a church worship leader, maybe have like a conversation with your pastor of like, hey, these are tensions I'm feeling. Hey, these are things I'm feeling in the room. Help each other understand what's happening. Because if you don't, then there's just going to cause maybe some even like discourse of like, oh, well, I just have to do whatever they say. And, and now I'm scared to say anything. And it's like, let's partner, build relationship and be honest with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's so good.
And the last thing I would just add, I don't know why, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I will.
You shouldn't. I'm totally kidding.
No, you're probably right. I don't want to. They'll clip it and it'll be great. But, and I just think too, like in our Western culture, like, and hear me out. I understand we are releasing new songs and I'm hoping you will go listen. I really do. So I get it. I do. But like, I've just been leading worship since I was 16 years old. In small churches and big churches. And I just hope that like we don't try to write songs and record songs at our church because it makes a name for ourselves.
Yes.
And that it gets some type of like you become seen in some way, whether it be as a worship leader or a pastor or the church, like whatever it is. Like it's so easy now to put songs out, like, I mean, how many songs are released every single day? It's like, what, thousands of them?
Yeah.
And each genre too. It's like, it's crazy. Anybody can use this, you know, an AI app and write a song these days, like whatever. But I think the temptation sometimes for worship leaders and people in the church is just like, well, if I do that, then somehow I'll be seen and somehow I'll be noticed and somehow I'll like take more ground. And we are so good at saying it in a way that it's like, it's for the kingdom and it's for our house and it's for all these things. And like, I get it. I can talk that way too. I've been there and I've gotten it wrong way more than I've gotten it right. But I would just say like, man, if you're going to write songs, like do it. Nobody should ever tell you to not write songs, but keep the main thing, the main thing. Yeah. And that is, we are here to serve the Lord and we're here to tell people about Jesus. And so,
yeah.
If we can connect people to the Lord, then we're serving him really well and we're serving them really well. And I think that's when you know, like, I did my job. Whether anybody reshared your post on Instagram or TikTok or not, that's how you know you did your job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good word. Well, you guys, thank you so much for taking the time to have this convo. We kind of dove into some pretty transparent, honest conversation, but I think real, honestly, like what worship leaders have to be thinking about as they're leading their church. So, I mean, speaking of new songs, everybody go play at your church. The Lord is with me.
Come on.
Go listen to it. It's on Spotify, Apple Music. We have all the tracks and the charts at CCLI. So go get them today. Tyler and Kendra, thank you so much for your ministry and the way you guys are pouring into churches. It's awesome.
It's honestly a privilege and we love it. Thank you.
All right, you guys, great conversation with Red Rocks Worship. When you introduce new songs at your church, what are some tips? What are some things you do when you introduce new songs at your church? Type them down in the comments now, hit the subscribe button, and stay tuned for future Worship Fuel shows.